Welcome to Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast, where we discuss everything and anything in the digital film world, which includes television shows, Blu-rays, the latest electronics, anything and everything to do with digital or film. So kick back, relax for the next hour or so, and enjoy Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast. Welcome back to IKP's digital film podcast. Yes, we're back. And we're going to tickle your pussy ear, as Kevin Smith would say. No, so we're back. I'm flying solo this time. Sherry still has a touch of the laryngitis. And I did promise you guys that I would give... Wow, I sound like I'm getting a little hoarse there. I did promise you guys a full podcast. So I'm flying solo. So hopefully the one listener that's listening, hopefully I can entertain you myself. So... what are we talking about today? Let's see. Well, I'm going to definitely review the Dark Knight Rises Blu-ray, which right now I'm going to tell you it's going to be a good review. I had to take a drink of water there. A little parched. All right. So if you hear any background noise like birds chirping outside my window and whatnot, it's because it is very early in the morning. I won't disclose how early it is because you guys will think I'm insane. Especially when I do podcast, but you know, when you do podcasts, you do them when not. I think the best way to do a podcast, video blog, is when you have something to say and you're the most energetic and you really just want to spit it out. So let's run down a couple of things. First of all, so Red did announce their 4K player, which essentially is a more or less like a Blu-ray player, like on steroids. Any of you that are familiar with, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you're familiar with 4K. And essentially, what 4K, for those of you who don't know, is it's pretty much four times the resolution of 1080p or four times pixels of 1080p. If you could even imagine that, so some people can. You know, if you've ever seen anything in full 4K, you definitely know that it's very beautiful and far superior than full HD. And if you're lucky enough to see it downscaled to full HD, it's far sharper than anything captured in full HD. So if you really, you know, it's pretty much, if you take a look at some of the movies on Blu-ray, I mean, some of those were shot in full 4K and scaled down to 1080. So that's why it looks so sexy. But anyway, so Red announced a Red Ray player, and their statement says, Red Ray player, 4K playback up to 120 frames a second, 4 times HDMI, 1.4 video outputs, 7.1 channel HDMI, 1.4 audio output, download 4K content to an internal HD, ingest content from SD or flash media, dual gigabit Ethernet ports, USB and eSATA ports, tablet control, Redpass DRM. Now, you can go to red.com and get, or reduser.net, and you can get more information on the Red Ray player if you're interested in either being an early adopter of 4K technology, which for the consumer player will be about $1,400, I'm told. There's different levels of their Red Ray player, from professional all the way down to consumer. So the consumer one is about $1,400, which isn't that bad when you consider the price that the Blu-ray players were at when they first came out. So technology is catching up to us. Well, not catching up to us. The technology is moving very fast in terms of acquisition of video and how we display video and how we, I mean, when you think about where we were about 4 years ago, which isn't that far back, even 3 years ago, we'll venture back 3 years ago. When you think about the video acquisition, the display, and everybody was really content with 720p, for online streaming, and, you know, those who could had, you know, full HD. And now full HD is really taken off. And so much so that, I mean, 4K is trickling down into the consumer levels almost. I mean, this is the first Well, Sony released their 85-inch 4K television. Wow. My cats are having a fight. In case you were wondering what that scream was, we have seven cats and they get on each other's nerves. But anyway, but yeah, Sony released an 85-inch 4K display, or Quad HD, I think it is. So yeah, I mean, it's $25,000 right now, but you think about 5 to 6 year timeline, technology will definitely reach the consumer level where we'll be able to pretty much view 4K content at an affordable price, a semi-affordable price. I would give it about, I think if we're talking about the lifespan of Blu-ray, I would say Blu-ray still has a good 10-year lifespan in it, just due to the implementation of Blu-rays are very, very good. So even if you were to eventually upgrade to a Red Ray player or some sort of device that does play back 4K content, I'm sure that you could upscale your full HD Blu-rays, and they'll still look sexy. Obviously, if anybody's been, like I said, if you've been able to see, I mean, you go to YouTube, if you have a 27-inch 2011 or 2012 iMac, you definitely could watch this 4K content. Just type in 4K and you on YouTube and watch some content in the tabs where it gives you the quality options. Just click on original. It's right above 1080p, and it'll give you a pretty much the resolution if you have a fast enough bandwidth to stream 4K original content. Well, it's actually displayed at less than 4K. It's about 2.5K, so it's a little bit above, but anything above 1080 is very sharp and very beautiful. Even 4K scaled down to full HD is far crisper and more beautiful than anything captured in full HD and displayed at full HD. So yeah, so it, I'm surprised with the technology. And I mean, the phones that are coming out, I mean, the point and shoot market is going to be drying up. I'm sure it's drying up right now because everybody has these. I mean, the iPhone 5 shoots pretty damn good fucking photos, man. And video, it shoots pretty good HD video. I mean, I wouldn't make a feature out of it. I mean, if I had to, I guess I could. But I mean, it's definitely good enough for your average vacation and whatnot. And to be able to share it right off your phone straight to Facebook, or, to the point where, Apple has their iMovie implementation on their iPhones. And so you can do a quick, dirty edit on your tablet or whatnot. Whether it be an iPhone or a Galaxy Note 2, I mean, these cell phones and tablets are mad crazy with all the apps they're coming out with, and the technology, like I said, is moving so fast that I love it. I love it. I'm excited for 4K. I'm an early adopter of technology, so I'm can't wait till the technology hits to the point where it's affordable. Because right now it's, not that affordable. And even if you do get your hands on a Red Ray player, you're essentially watching scaled down 4K footage. But I would rather watch 4K footage scaled down directly in a Red Ray player than having it go through different processes to stream it online. So, being an early adopter has its benefits, and at the same time, you're paying a pretty hefty premium. But if you're a red shooter, you definitely know the benefits, I guess, of all of Red's proprietary devices. So yeah, so that's pretty interesting tech, man. I'm jazzed. Which leads me into this new technology, which I picked up the other week. For those of you that watch a lot of online content, I don't know if you're familiar with Soldier Knows Best. You can Google him. He's on YouTube. He has a Revision 3 show. Actually, you can go to Revision 3. I would recommend go to Revision 3 for the best quality. But it trickles down to his YouTube page. But Soldier Knows Best, Techzilla, all these shows like Film Riot, Film State, HD Nation. These are the shows I watch. Stay up to date on most of the film community stuff and the tech stuff. You know, I can't remember the last time I fucking watched cable. But anyway, Soldier Knows Best did a review on this Philips Hue light bulbs, these LED light bulbs, which are pretty badass. And based on his review, I picked these up, like, right away. Like, as soon as I saw the review, as soon as I heard the watts that they put out and what they could do, I went out there, and some of you may think I'm crazy, and, you know, for buying this, because you're thinking light bulbs, like, what the fuck are you buying such expensive light bulbs? Because we'll get down to the price in a little bit. But before that, I kind of want to tell you what these, so you, these are sold, if you go to your local Apple store or the Apple store online, Philips Hue starter kit. You want to start off with the starter kit, which is about $200 to start off with. And you'd be thinking, what the fuck is $200 going to get me? Well, essentially you get three LED light bulbs, which put out 8.5 watts of light. 8.5 fucking watts of light. Now, the lifespan, I mean, if you were to keep these light bulbs on for about 3 hours every day on, they would last you about 15 years. So they're going to last you about 10 to 15. These light bulbs are going to be with you for a very long time. And so it comes, the starter kit comes with a bridge, which looks like a, you know, it almost looks like a Wi-Fi receiver that you would have in your house. It's a very small circular white bridge, very clean looking, very Apple looking, even though it's Philips. And it comes with three LED light bulbs. And what you do is you basically just connect the bridge to your wireless router. It essentially looks like a wireless router. And it's much smaller, though. So you connect it just straight to your wireless router, and you plug it into the outlet, and you push the center button while all your lights are on that you've just, you know, the three light bulbs you just screwed in, or the extra light bulbs you find, you buy. But, you know, you essentially you screw in each light bulb, right? And to wherever you want them to be. And you turn the light switches on, or you pull the cords or whatever. So you have them, you have the light switches on the entire time. And what happens is that you downloaded this app from, you know, it's Android based or Apple based. So you download the Philips Hue app for free. It's a free app. And or you can go online and create an account on the Philips Hue website. And pretty much what it is, it's a remote controlled lighting, and it changes colors. And you can change the light bulb to not only turn on at certain times, you can set them to any timers to turn on, to turn off. You can remote control them. Like, say you're away on vacation and you want it to look like the lights are on, you know, because you don't want someone breaking into your house. You can log into your Philips Hue account online from any computer and turn on all your lights remotely. Not only that, but the app allows you to download various looks and color palettes, and you can control each light independently. You can make it as dim as you want or as bright as you want, each independently. You can change the color of the light to any color that you could imagine, except black. I don't think black, but you can change it to purple, blue, green, red, light blue, brown, orange, yellow. I mean, you can make any kind of mood, and you can have them all looking the same, or having them all independently look different. You can have like the hallway, like a midnight blue, and you can have the room, a warm tungsten, really warm sunset feel. And then you can have the garage bright green or purple. And you, like I said, you can dim them independently. You can have like your room have lower light output than your living room and whatnot. So for 8 watts, I mean, you're automatically, it's a good investment in terms of of longevity and output. And these light bulbs, I thought they were going to be pretty dim. You know, you hear 8 watts and you're like, how the fuck is this going to light my room? You know, if you have the right lamp and it's not diffused too much, they're pretty bright actually at full power. So the money you're going to save in the long run, and the idea that you can set these on timers to turn on and off. They have these light recipes where they have different lighting recipes where they have one for energize, so it's a, and they have one for reading, and they have one for concentrate. So essentially, these are light recipes that Philips came up with, and I guess did a lot of testing that certain lights help you concentrate. So, you know, you can pick that, like if you're reading, you pick the reading preset, and it changes the lights to a certain color that's adaptable and the best for reading. And you say you want to concentrate on something. Supposedly they've figured out the perfect light source to help you concentrate. So you pick the concentrate preset, and it changes the lights to a certain color that helps you concentrate, and so on and so forth. You can also create your own looks, which is kind of cool. And they have a community online also where people create thousands of looks, and they share their looks, and you can download them for free. And you can upload, you can control up to 50 light bulbs on one bridge. So essentially, and you know, it's a steep investment. We right now have about four running through the house, and man, everybody loves them. Because it's pretty cool, you know. You do, or you are able to turn them off, you know. Because there's times where I'll sit down, start a movie, or start watching some special features on a movie, and I forget to turn off the lights. You know, you get comfortable. You know, I just reach for my app and my phone and my app, not my phone, my iPod, and I just turn them off, or I dim them, or I change the moods, and the kids love them. And you know, 8 watts, man. I mean, that's going to save you a lot of money. And plus, you know, they're going to be with you for a long time, about 10 or 15 years. And they're well crafted. They're very sexy looking light bulbs, very heavy duty. So for each light bulb after that, each individual light bulb will run you about $60 per light bulb. So once again, it is a steep investment. But if you're the type of person that loves to have full control of their lighting equipment and are early adopters of technology, you're definitely going to want to pick up the Philips Hue starter kit, and you won't be disappointed. It's fun, and not only is it fun, but you know, the it's saving you money. I can't remember how many light bulbs, energy saving light bulbs, I've been through in terms of having to buy, you know, them because they burn out or whatnot. But these the light, the it's just awesome. It basically is awesome. Yeah, it's a steep price, you know, the starting price of $200, and but you do get, like I said, the three heavy duty light bulbs and the bridge, free app, so everything. So there's no additional cost, you know. Once you buy into it, you're there. The only thing you have to buy is extra light bulbs, and you could add up to 50. So definitely very sexy product if you're an early adopter. And like I said, if you do the math of how much you'll save in money and the perks you get with it, eventually it adds up, especially over the course of 10 years. But anyway, so The Dark Knight Rises, let's oh, just remember, go to philipshue.com, or go to your local Apple store and take a look at the kit itself. Pretty awesome. Soldier Knows Best, definitely. And check his review out. Type in Soldier Knows Best on YouTube, and type in like Philips Hue or something like that, or just go to his page. You'll find his reviews. He does a lot of tech reviews. He recently did the Beats Pill review, and the Nexus, I forgot, the Nexus 4, I think it was. I'm not really up to par with anything that's not it's not Apple. Sorry, guys. But so yeah, so we're gonna go on to the Dark Knight Rises Blu-ray review. Now let me take another drink of water, because man, dude, every time I talk, it's like fucking parched like a motherfucker. All right, so the Dark Knight Rises Blu-ray video quality. superb video quality. You know, it goes just like The Dark Knight. If you guys own The Dark Knight Blu-ray, it goes from 178:1 aspect ratio to down to a 241 or 235:1 aspect ratio. So it kind of switches between those two. And essentially, what you're getting, for those of you that don't know the aspect ratios, it essentially, when it fills up your entire screen, you're getting the IMAX format, which is going to look 10 times clearer than, you know, it's a 70 millimeter conversion to Blu-ray. So it's really beautiful picture when it does the IMAX aspect ratio conversion. So but even the 235:1 aspect ratio 35 millimeter film, when it goes back down to that, it's still beautiful. The audio, the DTS HD Master audio track, is beautiful. I mean, if you got the system, you're gonna hear everything from the Bat Pod to the Bat, fuck it, I call it the Batwing. You know, kicks, punches. I mean, brutal soundtrack in terms of how crystal clear it is. I mean, man, I could hear every punch, every grunt. It's fucking beautiful. And Blu-ray.com gave it a pretty good review, so you can check it out there at Blu-ray.com. But yeah, it's a good buy if you're into the whole Batman thing and you've, you know, invested in Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. This would be a pretty good way to round up your collection. Is it the best of those movies? I would say, I don't know. It's one of those movies where on repeat viewings you start, you know, the first time you watch it, you're like so fucking jazzed at the scope of it, because it's fucking... the scope of this movie is massive. I mean, it's so beautiful, beautifully shot. The cinematography was awesome. But, you know, on repeat viewings, you start seeing like, hey, man, there's some fucking major ass plot holes and shit, you know, and shit you forgive because, you know, the previous thing was so badass. But there's some shit in this movie that just like, okay, how the fuck did this happen? Like, really? You know, expect us to swallow this. But I think that if I were to pick my favorite Batman movies in the Nolanverse, I think it would go The Dark Knight would be the first. And Batman Begins, I think, was very well executed. I think it was very, when I saw it, it was very earnest. It was a very earnest movie. It was fucking a way that I've never seen Batman taken. Because, you know, we've seen Batman from the Adam West to fucking Tim Burton's fucking raping of Batman. And anybody that knows Batman, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And Tim Burton. But, you know, to be fair, Tim Burton did finally give us a dark representation of Batman. But I think that he took him way too dark in terms of, you know, like, fucking Batman never kills. You know, that's the main thing that Batman never does, is never kills. And fucking Tim Burton movie, I don't know, you can point out a bunch of fucking bullshit in Tim Burton's universe of Batman. So essentially, it's not the Batman we know and love in the comics. There's no code of honor in Tim Burton's world. But anyway, but these Nolan ones, man, like when I saw Batman Begins, you know, we saw the atrocity of Batman Forever, Batman and Robin. Let's not even go there. Joel Schumacher, man, I don't know what he was thinking. But yeah, when I saw these movies, man, when I saw Batman Begins, I was like fucking blown away, because, I mean, it was so grounded in reality, but at the same time, it was like, you know, you have to fucking buy that this guy's dressing up like a huge bat, fucking kicking people's asses in the middle of the night. I mean, but it was fucking dealt so earnestly that I fucking bought it. And then you fucking come in with Dark Knight and you fucking throw in Heath Ledger as a Joker and fucking drop some mad fucking crazy acting science on you and shit. You were in a whole fucking... the scope of that movie was 10 times the scope of Batman Begins. And then, you know, you have this finale where You know, it's the scope of it's even bigger if you can even imagine. The set pieces are much. It's just amazing to behold. But in terms of storytelling, I think that Batman Begins and The Dark Knight are my two favorites. And not that The Dark Knight Rises was my least favorite, but I think in terms of rewatchability, without having to suffer through certain things that kind of make you cringe, like, okay, wait a minute. I would say that The Dark Knight and Batman Begins have the least amount of plot holes, I would say. And The Dark Knight Rises has the most. That's just my opinion. But by no means is it any less of a superior. I mean, Christopher Nolan executed these movies beautifully. And if you got a chance to see them in IMAX, man, you know what I'm talking about. It's fucking sexy. But anyway, yeah, pick it up. Blu-ray, Dark Knight Rises, sexy equals sexy. So now we didn't get a chance to check out the Finding Nemo 3D yet or Up 3D Blu-rays. Kind of saving those for a special occasion where I can get together with my family and kind of, especially Finding Nemo. I'm totally like excited about, you know, because I like 3D. You know, I'm not one of those people that get sick or has a problem with 3D. I actually like 3D. I like the gimmick. I like whatever. You know, I like shit flying at me if I can feel more immersed. Love it. But which kind of, you know, brings me to this thing I want to talk to you guys about. HDMI cables. So we're in the market right now for a HD TV. You know, the ultimate HD TV. Because we kind of been, you know, pussyfooting it in terms of you're kind of saying to yourselves, Ruben and Sherry pussyfooting it in technology? No way. You're not? Yeah, actually we have. You know, we've been kind of buying the most affordable televisions, I would say. Not the most affordable, but you know, we bought into these LED technology televisions to save mainly money on electric bills. And but yeah, for those of you that our video files. I mean, the way to go is plasma. Plasma's where it's at. Plasma's it's going to give you the fastest refresh, you know, 600 hertz refresh rate, the most accurate colors and picture quality that you're just going to get superior picture quality with the plasma. Now, you know, a lot of people have their opinions on plasma because of the bad history it has of burning problems and whatnot, supposedly. So they've solved those problems. And to burn in an image on these new plasmas, it's very hard to do. So don't worry about that. So definitely pick up a plasma if you really are a videophile, and make sure that you are in a dark room. You should never watch any movie in a brightly lit room. But if you are in a brightly lit room with lots of windows, LED is the way to go, or LCD. I would say LED, but definitely if you're in a dark lit environment and your eyes get dark adjusted, plasma is the way to go. So anyway, so we're shopping around for a plasma right now, like the ultimate home theater kind of thing. And one thing that, you know, I want you guys to know, because there are some people out there, excuse me, some more water there. So there's something I want you guys to know. HDMI cables. And there's some people that get suckered in by you know, different electronic stores and whatnot. Depending on your flavor, where you go buy your stuff. You know, you usually have the young hotshot saying, "Hey, you know, if you're gonna buy this HDTV, it's not gonna work unless you buy this $300 HDMI cable, which will give you the best picture quality that you can possibly get." There is, you know, first of all, let's get this out of the way. There is no $1,000 HDMI cable or $300 HDMI cable that's going to give you superior picture quality. There just ain't. And one of the things also, don't fall prey to the really thick cables, like those monster HDMI cables. A lot of people buy those and, oh, the thicker the better, like the more shielding. Now, the thing is that you can be getting a really thick cable, and underneath all that fucking thick cable could be the cheapest copper wiring. And so essentially the connectors at the ends are where the electronics are housed. So I don't, we don't get paid to pimp any of these places. We're telling you to go check it out. We're just trying to pass the knowledge and savings on to you that we've learned. Now, I just recently picked up a pair of HDMI cables on monoprice.com. Just fucking Google monoprice.com and go to their store. They pick up a pair of their Redmir HDMI cables. They come in 6 foot lengths, 12 foot lengths, and I think even 60 foot lengths. Now, these cables, especially one of the reasons you also don't want to buy a thick HDMI cable, because the HDMI ports that are coming in televisions now are usually on the sides. And if you plug in a heavy duty HDMI cable, like one of those thick hose ones, and it's weighing down on that HDMI port, it could damage that internal port, and that's not easy to replace, and that's going to cost you some money. So what these Redmir technology HDMI cables are like super thin, but what they have is amplification boosts. So even if you buy a 60 foot one, it has its internal amplification where you don't need the extra shielding in one. It actually delivers a pretty decent quality picture. I mean, it's very superior without having to spend a ton of money. So a 6 foot cable is going to run you $14.99. And when you get it, you're going to be like, how is this HDMI cable going to produce better video quality than my thick ass monster cable that I paid $100 for? Well, I have one of those monster $100 cables because my demo, well, yeah, I got it for free with a bundle pack. And I've been using it. And Techzilla, if you watch Revision 3, check out the show Techzilla. And these Redmir technology HDMI cables are so thin, they don't weigh down anything. But I plugged it in, man, and I turned on my Blu-ray player, and the picture significantly got at least three times better than what I was looking at before. And I was tripping out. I was like, I was telling Sherry, I was like telling my brother and Sherry and my daughter Faith. I was like, am I smoking something? Or is the picture like significantly better? And the sound quality, and like they were like, yeah, dude. And so right there, dude, $14.99. Never pay $300 for any HDMI cable. Never pay over $40 for an HDMI cable, man. Go to monoprice.com. Definitely those hotshots that tell you, look, your 3D is not going to work if this and it is going to work. And definitely pick up a highly recommended $14.99 HDMI cable. Or 12 foot cables are going to run you just a little bit more, but definitely nowhere near $100 are you going to be paying for the HDMI cables. And they're definitely far superior. They may not look it, but you're definitely going to be Redmir. Remember, Redmir HDMI cables. They're the ones with the red kind of tip. They have different types of them, but I would go with the ones with the actual red insignia or logo with the actual it's a color red tip and gold plated. But they're the $14.99. Go to monoprice.com and pick a couple of those bad boys up and see for yourself. It's not, I mean, just pick one up and replace it with your current HDMI cable, the one you use, the one you're mainly streaming your content off of. Say, you're running many HDMI cables through one device and one device is outputting that signal. Use that one and you're gonna see a significant jump in resolution. So never buy into. I mean, I understand they have to upsell the extras because especially people that work at Best Buy, like they don't work off of commission. So they like the store has to meet a certain quota, so they have to add these extra add-ons, like the buyer warranty and da 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 this. It's like, you could use a manufacturer's warranty. You can bypass all those things, those extras that you may not need. But especially the HDMI cables, never be suckered in by someone telling you that this HDMI cable is made by the best, blah, blah, blah. There is no such thing as a $1,000 HDMI cable is going to make your picture, though. No. No. Trust me. And so that kind of leads me to The Hobbit. And The Hobbit, man, I'm excited. I just we just finished the extended edition Lord of the Rings Blu-ray trilogy. Blu-ray looks sexy. Sound quality was superior. Very awesome. Go ahead and pick it up if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings. But interested to see The Hobbit. It's coming out on the 15th, and try and watch it as Peter Jackson wanted you to watch it, in 3D and 48 frames a second. So I ask your local theater if they're going to be displaying it at it's 48 frames per second at 3D. So go ahead and check that out, and you'll be treated to the new Man of Steel trailer. And I believe, well, the cool thing is a teaser trailer came out for Star Trek Into Darkness. And that teaser trailer looked badass. So check that out on appletrailers.com. And you'll be blown away by what you see. And I think that was just a teaser trailer. I think the full trailer comes out with The Hobbit. I'm not exactly sure. I know that if you go see a certain viewing of the IMAX version of The Hobbit, you will definitely get a sneak peek, I think the first 10 minutes or something like that, of Star Trek Into Darkness. So if you're a Star Trek fan, if you were a fan of the first one, go ahead and check out the next one that's coming out. Go ahead and check out that trailer, man. Pretty fucking badass. But yeah, so, I mean, technology, once again, like getting back to that, I mean, at this point, it's either you get with it or you get lost, apparently. Or you get left behind. Wow, dude, I'm horsed. I hope I'm not getting laryngitis. No, that sounds like I am. I think I'm going to take another drink of water here. But, yeah. So The Walking Dead mid-season finale, we kind of did a quick and dirty review of it, but what I wanted to say about it was this show has definitely grabbed my attention and the attention of my kids and my wife. I mean, we all sit down every week and watch this fucking thing. You know, not on cable, but, you know, we buy it through the Apple TV, bypass all those commercials and junk we don't want to watch. Plus, we get it in higher quality than you would on cable. Like I said, I can't really remember the last time I watched something on cable. Everything that I watch is either streamed or online. You know, bypass all the junk. I usually watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it. But give me 1 second here. Take a drink of water. All right, back here. But so yeah, man. I mean, I'm blown away, and I'm a little like thrown back by how fast the technology is moving. And excited at the same time, because thrown back in terms of it's hard to invest in something because like the next year it might be obsolete. So it's always, you know, it's when you're like buying a phone or a camera or even a television. I mean, it's so hard to know what's coming around the corner, because technology, like I said, is moving so fast. So it's kind of hard to pick and say like, okay, I'm going to invest in this. And then like a year later, you're like, fuck, my investing blows chunks. So in that way, I'm kind of thrown back. And the other way, I'm really excited that these like 4K formats and just better resolution and higher quality imagery, and not only that, but more affordable or ways of capturing images, or because, you know, I'm all in about, you know, Impulse Kitty Productions is all about, you know, capturing images, motion or still, which kind of leads me to what we've been doing. We've kind of been prepping our official website. You know, some of you may know we registered a domain and now we're looking for web posters. But essentially what we're doing right now is we're trying to acquire as much new content to display when we launch the website, which should be in February. early February, late January, early February. We want to launch the website, and it should have, you know, new content such as photographs and a new music video tribute that we're going to do, that we're working on right now. I mean, finally. It's a 2 year and two and a half year. Well, I think two and a half year labor of love that in its infancy was a very small idea, and it kind of grew into this big elaborate music video. And like I said, it's a tribute. It's a nonprofit tribute. Right now we are a nonprofit company. We're trying to just acquire as much knowledge and filmmaking and trying to display, not only give that knowledge back to people, but trying to implement it and display it so people can see like what we're capable of in terms of photography and videography and whatnot. And then, you know, somewhere down along the line, hopefully these videos and whatnot will get us attention and be like, hey, you know, can you shoot my independent band's music video? Because I like the way you shot this music video tribute, or essentially acquire these music video tributes, and from each music video tribute, you know, make a demo reel of each music video tribute, which is pretty much a, if you will, a montage, a mini music video of all your best work, whether it's stills, video, whatever have you. You strip away any music that it has and you put on some royalty-free music. You do a nice sexy edit and display your best content to show the client or whoever you're trying to sell yourself to. That way you don't get in trouble or anything like that. But yeah, essentially, you know, they could watch the music video tributes that we do to the actual music of the artist, because, you know, I can't sing. I can't sing to help save my life. But it's a perfect way for us to get to shoot music videos and get to flex our directing muscles and whatnot, without having to essentially come up with an entire script right now or anything like that, because we are actually working on a short film. We have a treatment that someone wrote for us, and we're trying to figure out the best way to execute that within the next couple of years. It's almost the script is autobiographical, so we have to treat it with as much respect as possible. So we're trying to figure out the best way to implement that script into a short film or a full-length feature, I guess, independent feature. So yeah, we're working on that. That'll be within the next couple of years. But in the meantime, we're working like on comedy sketches and music video tributes, where essentially we take, you know, the songs that have inspired us a lot or have stuck with us and made a huge impression on us, and we reinterpret them and pretty much spit out as a tribute. We lip sing the songs to the artist, like, you know, normal people would. You see them making their own music, but this is an actual production where we take it as seriously as if it was our own content. But essentially, we're not making any money off of this or anything. It's just we're so jazzed and excited about the artist and how this song affected us, and we come up with a story to go along with the song, and we execute it. And we have it out there just as a tribute to the artist, and kind of like, hey, this is the way this music made us feel. This is the way the artist made us feel. This is what the artist inspired us to do. This is how the artist affected us creatively. You know, will we see any dimes off of this stuff? No, definitely. I would never make money off of someone else's work. So it's all for entertainment purposes for that. Especially the experience that we get doing it is credit enough. And like I said, I wouldn't want to take credit for someone else's work. I mean, I will take credit for the cinematography and the directing and the editing, but not for the music. Like I said, can never get paid for that stuff. And nor would I want to. Like I said, from one business person to another, I wouldn't want someone taking my stuff and like making money off of it. But I wouldn't mind someone taking my material and like being like, hey, you know, I'm gonna make a tribute to this because you inspired me to do this. That'd be great. Especially if I was a singer, I'd love to see people like lip singing my songs and dancing to my music or imitating. You know, imitation is the best form of flattery, they say. So I mean, I'd be jazzed if I affected someone that much that they went out there and and were so moved by what I made that they put themselves in and created something. But anyway, so yeah, that's what we're working on right now. We're working on our full website, where it's like a one-stop shop kind of place, where you don't have to go to Facebook or Twitter or Vimeo or YouTube, all these different social network sites or video sites. You kind of get everything you want from IKP in one selection, like our podcast and our latest photos, latest videos, anything. Because, you know, some people don't want to jump from Facebook to Vimeo to here to there. And it's not that we're trying to do away with Facebook, Vimeo, or anything like that, or Twitter or anything like that, but we just kind of want our own dedicated website. Not only for business purposes, but, you know, to display our content. And some people don't like jumping left and right. They want to go to one place and view all the content. So that's what we're working on right now, is how to display, not only acquire the new content, because we're out there taking new photographs right now. We're doing some abstract photos, some beauty shots, different kind of photography stuff. And we're working on this music video tribute. And once we got all those things kind of wrapped up in a neat package, we're kind of launch our new website and working on our final logo as well. So if anybody out there wants to hit us up on Facebook, if you guys know how to do some CGI or some nice artists, if you want to flex your artistry muscle pro bono, you can help us create our final logo. We'll definitely give you all the credit for it. So, but yeah, we're trying to figure out the best way to make our final logo. So, yeah, that's what we've been up to. So that was our podcast. Hopefully you were entertained somewhat by myself. I know it's kind of boring just to listen to one person, but unfortunately, Jerry's got laryngitis. The kids are off at school, so I'm here working, and I continue soaking up every day over 8 hours of filmmaking knowledge. You're wondering, how does one do that? Well, my friends, there's a lot to learn. And right when you think you learned everything, there's more to learn. Like I said, the technology is moving so fast. You have to keep up with it or you get left behind. There's always, this filmmaking business especially, you got to stay cutting edge and you got to stay on top of everything, because you have to be the smartest person in the fucking room. So acquire as much information. If you're into filmmaking, best advice so far that I can give anybody is acquire as much knowledge as you can about what it is you're doing. And that way, when you're in a room full of people that either you hired or whatever, you make sure you're the smartest person in that room. Well, at least the most knowledgeable person in that room, especially if it's your craft, because nobody's going to follow you if you're kind of bumbling and don't know where you're going, because people are going to look to you as a leader, like, okay. And, you know, if you look like you don't know what you're doing for even 1 second, I mean, there goes your cover, man. So that's what we're doing right now. And that's why we kind of are working in this nonprofit area right now, because we want to get to that point where we're that good that we can be like, okay, we definitely know what we're talking about. We definitely know what we're doing. So now we can take that next step in our filmmaking career. So thanks for listening to IKP Digital Film Podcast. Come back again. I'm really hoping to get one out of these every week. I know sometimes life takes over and other stuff, especially during the holidays. So if we don't get to talk to you, have a happy holidays and a happy new year. And if the world ends, I guess I'll check you all out in the afterlife. So, Impulse Kitty Productions, Digital Film Podcast, saying peace, love, and a peanut butter jelly sandwich up my ass. You know, before I go, I'm still pissed that I can't go and pick up a Hostess cupcake. I'm really pissed. Look, I know I can pick up a Little Debbie, but it's not the same. I know Little Debbie won the snack cake war. But I want my Hostess cupcakes back. I'm fucking having withdrawals from Hostess. I want my fucking Hostess cupcakes back. So someone better fucking buy a Hostess and start fucking pumping out some fucking cupcakes, because I'm about to lose my damn mind. All right. Now it's an official goodbye.